Welcome to the Naked Life Podcast, where stripping becomes a way of life. We strip away the white noise, we rewrite the rules, and stop pretending everything is fine because we know it's not. This is for the woman who's done performing, tired of waiting, and ready to burn it all down and rebuild her life the way she wants to. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, mentor, disturber, guide for women who've outgrown the version of themselves they were taught to be and are ready to reclaim who they actually are. In each episode, you'll find unfiltered stories, savage truth, and the occasional plot twist to remind you, you don't need permission to change your mind, life, or your entire identity. You can just do it because you want to. The real you isn't lost, she's just buried under all the white noise. Let's find her again. And with that, let us begin. All right, welcome back to the Naked Life Podcast. We're going to talk about boundaries, everyone's favorite thing. It was like a buzzword for a while. When people say, like, let's talk boundaries, you got to set boundaries. Well, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? Especially for someone who is the strong one. What does that even mean? How do you set boundaries? You have already been labeled probably selfish, cold, harsh, you know, intimidating, you know, like passionate, but you know, also angry, but like passionate in like the angry sense, not passionate and like, wow, you're really passionate about it. Tell me more. That's really fucking exciting. And it's just interesting because a lot of things happen when you start setting boundaries and you start, you know, putting yourself first. You start to have your own back instead of self-abandonment. And no one really talks about like what happens emotionally when you start actually setting boundaries, when you start saying no, especially if you're the one that everyone leans on to fix things. And you're just so depleted and resentful. Like, no one actually really talks about, like, how resentful you feel, especially if you are the responsible one and were given responsibilities and you don't want those responsibilities anymore. Sometimes you even feel, like, resentful to be responsible for yourself as well. Even though in some ways that's all you want is to be responsible for yourself. And it's just really interesting because I've talked to many people about boundaries and a lot of people are like, how have you managed setting your boundaries, especially with family? And what does that look like going into the belly of the beast? But like, no one really talks about like what really happens when you set boundaries or what even boundaries are. Like, boundaries are a form of self-respect. I mean, the simplest boundary everyone has is no. And if you can't say no, then setting a boundary with yourself that you're going to get up and journal every day, or you're going to start working out, or you're going to, you know, leave work an hour earlier, since you're probably a workaholic because overachiever and that's what was taught to us, is you're not going to be able to do that if you can't say no. And saying no is the simplest but hardest boundary to have, because saying no creates this like internal friction you have within yourself because you don't really like conflict. I think that's one of the things is people like found out, attorney, go to law school. Oh, you must enjoy conflict. No, fucking hate conflict. I don't go after conflict, but I will rise to the occasion if a boundary is crossed. I will rise to the occasion if I feel like an injustice is happening. And what I tell people is like, I don't enjoy conflict. I just hate disrespect more. Let me repeat that. I don't enjoy conflict. I hate disrespect more. So if you disrespect me in whatever way, I'm going to have a conversation with you about it. I'm going to call you out about it. And it's not going to be the whole harsh, like, what the fuck are you doing? Sometimes it's like, okay, cool beans, but you don't get to do that again. Or does that make you feel good? Like, do you feel better? Or being like, you cross this, like, let's have a conversation. When you talk about, like, boundaries and telling people no and stop fixing and stop saving people, stop putting other people's needs before yours, there's this like shift that happens. And the shift goes back to a pause and slowness as you're like recalibrating your nervous system. One, you're recalibrating your nervous system live in the moment. Sometimes when you're saying no or you're standing up to yourself, like your body's probably like physically shaking and freaking out because the blueprint your body had was to shut down and let it pass to appease whatever was the person or whatever was happening to get GTFO to be safe. But as you're rewiring and standing up for yourself and showing yourself you have your own back, you're going to go through this physical thing and you're going to feel like something is wrong with you, but it's going to come less and less depending on the severity of who you're standing up to or what you are doing and what that triggers within you. And especially with someone who was like the fixer and that everyone leaned on and the strong one of the family, it's hard to say no because it's also, that's the role you were given. So if that's the role you were given, then who are you without it? Who are you if you're not fixing, if you're not bending over backwards for everyone, if you're not being the strong one, if you're not the one who's like, let's get this shit on the road, heavily being in your masculine and in your independence? Like, that's a terrifying thing to be at because you don't know. Sometimes you don't know, or rather you do know, you just haven't had the time to accept it or acknowledge it or want to integrate it at all. And it is your own like different parts of you. And it's just really interesting to just like witness and feel as you're going through this and building simultaneously the self-trust, simultaneously the confidence, simultaneously showing you have your own back, simultaneously also reparenting your own inner child. Because that's one of the things is, even though hindsight is 20/20 and you look back, like there was even like your inner child felt like she betrayed herself as well. Especially if you were mature and the adult or the responsible one at a young age, you did self-betray yourself because you had to, because that was the role you were given. You weren't given anything else. So you had to play this role or be this role, embody this role, become this role. And so as you're shifting, so it's like, as I think about it, is like the momentum was going forward in one direction, like not deciding to be an attorney, the whole like stopping the momentum and turning it around in a different direction feels discombobulating. It feels uncertain and it feels like you're in the wrong, like something is wrong, but you're not. Also with this pause that comes when you start to actually stand up for yourself and stop feeling guilty about it, stop being afraid and stop just, you know, start living and stop self-betraying yourself in a way, is this, there's this grief that comes in because a lot of the times you weren't also allowed to feel any emotion. Any emotion. Like the emotion that I was intimate with was anger because that was the easiest. I understood it. That's what everything was filtered through. But in this pause and this next like reiteration of where I'm at and this who I'm at becoming and working towards and the woman I'm becoming and want to be and what I'm wanting to manifest, there is this grief that no one talks about. No one talks about it because it's not something that is widely accepted, like a death, someone passing away or losing a job. I mean, no one really talks about the grief you feel when a friendship ends, whether it ends poorly or whether it just, you just quietly drift apart. But there's this grief that happens because your emotions are you're finally allowing your emotions to come through and feel it. And sometimes that can be overwhelming because when you start doing it, it's like a dam and you scratch it and there's a hole. So there's this little water coming through, but it's like cracking. So you start to freak out and think you're going to spontaneously combust because you've been holding it together for so long. And to set boundaries and say no and have self-respect for yourself, like you can't hold it together. You have to honor all parts of you at any given moment to be able to set any boundary and reevaluate whatever that looks like for you. But the grief is just like, who am I? Who did I wish I would be? Will you be left on an island because you're no longer the person playing the role that everyone expects you to be? It's also sadness for what you wish would have happened and what you wished someone or a lot of someone would have been, and accepting who they are now. And that's a big one. Like, accepting people who they are now is also grieving that hope you had for them to be what you needed and for them to step up into their potential or whatever, their highest version of yourself. There is that grief. And it's unsettling because, again, like, no one talks about it at all. Like, you stop performing. You stop doing the things for other people. You just stop it all. And then it's like, who are you? And who do you get to be? And it's just like the saying goes, like, a lot of beginnings look like painful endings. That's exactly what it is. It's a new beginning, but a painful ending, because you know you're going forward in something new and becoming who you're really meant to be, who you want to be. You want to like yourself. You want to love yourself. You want to be this confident version. You want to be the person that everyone sees you to be, instead of feeling like this fraudulent version, because, again, you use control to feel safe. And that is like how you got to be where you are, this high achieving woman, you know, the strong one, the one everyone leans on, and all of that. But when you start to do that and start to shift your strength for you, it's a little unsettling. It causes a lot of emotions to come up. And sometimes you feel like there's something wrong with you because you're, like I said, the momentum, you're shifting the momentum. Everyone thinks you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Why aren't you happy? Or why don't you just do what you're supposed to be doing? Then you'd be happy. And you're just like, none of this works. None of this makes sense for me. There's got to be a different way. There's got to be a different way. Also, logic stops making sense. Logic stops making sense. Because, like I said, like, everything on paper looks great, but it's not actually great in real life. It's not actually great in action. And that's like the missing piece. So logically, it should be great, but it's not. So then this is where intuition starts coming in. This is where you start asking yourself, look, what do I want? Who do I want to be? Who do I have to let go? What version of me is still holding me back instead of allowing me to move forward? Being more vulnerable as the strong one, as the protector, as the warrior, as the ice queen, as even the people pleaser. People pleasers are also quote unquote the strong ones. Even if you don't identify it, you learned it as a tactic. Because I never really identified as a people pleaser, because to me, people pleasing is what people did to earn love, affection, and validation. I learned people pleasing so people get off their back and off my back, stop watching what I was doing, and just like appease them, and I can go on my merry way, whatever that may be. And yeah, asking like, who do you want to be and who do you want to become? And giving yourself that space is wild, because one, it's like you don't know how to do it because you were never given the opportunity to actually do it as a child. Sure, they ask you about what you want to be when you grow up, having like that childlike imagination, but you're an adult. You're not supposed to have that, which I say, fuck that. But doing that also allows you to find out what your boundaries are. It also allows you to find out what you aren't and are available for. A lot of like it focuses on like what you're not available for. So what it is you want instead. So like, if you don't like black coffee, instead of telling someone, well, I don't like black coffee, they're just going to remember black coffee. You tell them, you know what? I really like a latte, a honey latte. Just like, it's really great. and maybe a little vanilla in it, but I just really like lattes. I like that rich, sweet, but get my caffeine kick. They're going to remember that versus you not liking black coffee. Because you'd be like, I don't like black coffee. However, but I like this. I really love this like honey latte. I just fucking love it. And if I could have it all the time, I would have it. I mean, this honey latte I discovered was in Greece. I love it. Fucking love it. But that shows me like what I am and what I'm not available for. So like getting on a like a level with like with people, I don't let people like my no is no. When I say no, I mean no. There's not a maybe, because the Midwest sometimes maybe Midwest means no. It means no. It doesn't mean yes. It means no, because Midwest nice is a thing. But when I say no, I mean no. I don't mean let's go back at it 12 different ways. I know there's a saying like in the business world, like no is just an opportunity or like whatever to like go back in and kind of like convincing someone to be with you. And I'm like, you shouldn't convince someone to be with you. It shouldn't be that fucking hard. If someone says no, cool beans. Peace out. I say no all the time and I don't care. But it's also interesting to witness people when you say no and they're just like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Flying back from Greece, I was ready to get the fuck out of there. I go up to drop off my bag and I get asked, well, stay another night. We'll do your hotel because the flight's overbooked. And I just like, no. And she was taken back. She was like, oh, who says no? I do, because I want to leave. I don't want another flight. You're going to put me in a seat that I don't really want. And paying for another night, I'm like, no, I want to go. No. But I didn't explain anything, which is really interesting to witness when you say no. So I wasn't available for that. But with like the boundaries, let me think, where do I want to go with this? One of the boundaries I've set with myself is I'm not a sounding board. I am not a sounding board for a lot of people that I used to be a sounding board for. I am not the one they get to vent to. I'm not the one they get to complain about stuff to. I'm just not available for that. Unless that person is also holds that space for me. And that changes relationships and sometimes is challenging, especially if you've been in this role at being the listener, someone just vents to you over and over and over again about something and you decide that you're not available for this. Like it changes the relationship. Sometimes it even ends the relationship because a lot of women venting and complaining and their frustration about like other people is a form of bonding and has been a form of bonding, which again, there's nothing wrong with that because that's how they were doing it. I'm just not available for it. You might not be available for it either because again, resentment builds. So also another way to find out what you are and aren't available for or what your boundaries are or what your boundaries aren't is feeling where you have a lot of resentment. And resentment is like this whole like anger that bubbles up and you're like, I wish you would get me the latte instead of me having to get our lattes every time. That's a simple example, but it's just like resentment builds. So there was resentment building in a relation I had where that was just what it is. It's the complaining, the frustration, the like commiserating. And anytime I tried to do that, I was met with like, get over it. Like, I don't want to talk about this right now. Like, why are you doing that? Like, no, kind of like grow up. And it built the resentment because I was like, this person would vent to me and complain to me about certain things. And then I was just, if I said that to them, then it was just like, I'm being difficult. Like I'm not being supportive. So that's an example of like when resentment comes. Extra responsibility and being responsible. Like I said, resentment. Resentment is a thing. Feeling resentment for even being responsible for myself sometimes came through because I had to be responsible before I should have been responsible. Probably just like you. You had to be responsible before you should have been responsible. So that being even like as an adult, like where you just want to burn everything down and go to Disneyland and pretend to be a child, like you don't also feel like you can't do that because you still have to be responsible for yourself. It's like the grief that you missed out on being this care, happy-go-lucky child and not be responsible for everything has also the resentment built, because now even though you just want to be responsible for yourself, or you want to be responsible for the things you choose, like if you have children or if you have a partner, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever that may be, like being responsible for those still brings on resentment because you had to be responsible for everyone else. And a lot of that responsibility and that resentment also is an emotional one. Like you had to be responsible for other people's emotions and making sure the boat wasn't rocking. And if the boat started to rock, you would do things to make sure it wouldn't rock, like defuse it, whatever it may be, self-betray, like you make yourself smaller, or you know, like be like something so that the boat wouldn't rock. And that's where resentment builds. And it's okay to have that resentment, and it's okay to have that grief too. And it's okay to be frustrated, but it's also okay to be happy that you're doing what you're wanting to do and that you're happy you're finally setting these boundaries. Several things can be true at once. We're not in this one size fits all universe. Like you can oscillate between emotions before you finally gone through the process and you're feeling okay about it. You're feeling okay about it. And so I'm just looking at my notes here. So during this time, it's also like a recalibration is happening. It feels like burnout. You may feel tired. You may want to sleep, but you don't feel rested. And it could be burnout. It probably is burnout, but it's also probably like a numbing has happened for so long that when you start setting your boundaries, learning what those are, allowing your emotions to come through, it's on just like a deeper level that you're feeling these things. And this is just how your body needs to process it. Even though you're getting rest and probably feel like shit and doing all of the things, it's because your body's releasing a lot of emotion. It's releasing a lot of heavy energetical burden that was never meant to be yours. Ever. And so in some ways, when you're doing this, it feels like you're losing a part of yourself. You're not losing a part of yourself. You're integrating and you're gaining parts of yourself that were hidden or you thought were lost along the way. You thought that you weren't able to do whatever that may be. So like even for example, like being your childlike self or bringing back some of that creativity or that childlike imagination is challenging even when you didn't get it and now you feel like you should be this like super serious adult. And you don't like being the super serious adult because you had to be a super serious adult before you even were an adult. And when you bring this childlike wonder back in, like doing some of the things you wish you did as a child. I mean, I haven't been to Disney World or Disneyland. I get those confused. Eventually, I'd want to go as an adult and I want to do it in the whole, like just let my inner child roam free. But we'll see, because Disney also, if you go down the rabbit hole of Disney, it's, and that's all I'll say on that. But one of the things I did when I started on this journey was I went to Build-A-Bear. And because I wanted to build a bear when I was young, I was never given the opportunity to do it because money was tight. And so I did this in my 20s. And it was just interesting that I let myself do it. I wasn't going to be judging myself for it. Like I wanted to do this Build-A-Bear and I'm going to build the bear. I'm going to have fun doing it. So, and I did all of the things that they have all of the kids do, because why the fuck not? If I'm going to do something, you might as well full send it, like no half-assing it. So there were other women there with me who went to support me doing building this bear. And as I'm finishing up and getting the certificate of naming my bear, I look and they're gone. I'm like, all right, they're probably in the hallway. They're whatever. So I'll just finish what I'm doing and, you know, pay for my bear. As I'm going, I'm paying for my bear. And I look around the corner because the station where you actually build the bear was kind of hidden from how they had the setup with the cash register. And I looked around the corner of the cash register and all the women that I was there with were all in line making their own Build-A-Bear. That wasn't the goal, to influence other women to do this with me. I'm like, I'm just doing it for myself. I'm giving myself permission to build this bear. And in doing so, these other women built their own Build-A-Bears. And they went through that whole process the same way I did it, not missing a step, letting the child-like self do that. And it was really beautiful to witness. Now, little did I know about building this bear, how significant that would be. So I was doing some volunteer coaching a couple years later, and I told one of the co-coaches that were in this program about how I got my bear. Her name is Rebel, obviously, why I did it. And then he went and did it. But then he also shared that story with one of his students. And all of a sudden, because there was a group chat with all of the students and the coaches, and all of a sudden, all of these pictures of people getting their own Build-A-Bears, and I was being tagged in it. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, what is happening? And then I found out he shared the story. Then that story got shared. And then it just multiplied from there. I also went with some other the coaches for them to get their own bears. And I 100% made them do all of the steps. I even told the person who was helping build the bear, I'm like, nope, you make them do what you make the children do. We're going to do it. You're full sending it. And so that was just really like beautiful to witness, because when you give yourself permission to just be who you are in a moment, you simultaneously give that permission to other people without even trying. And I know that you are a leader. You enjoy being a leader. You're just shifting how that looks for you, how that feels good for you, and helping people and guiding people and, you know, doing that for people. Like, you are a giver. You just want to give freely and not have to do it or be this like strong archetype of doing it. And so that's just like where boundaries comes in too. Like, even with yourself, like getting the Build-A-Bear and doing it for myself showed that I had my own back, that my reparenting going on. And also it showed a boundary within myself that I didn't realize I was creating, of allowing creativity in, wanting to have creativity in, wanting to bring this childlike wonder back. Because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be writing again. I wouldn't be pottery, exploring that, wanting to do more in the pottery and creating with my hands and doing artistic things with that. And that boundary within myself has also developed into ensuring that having some sort of arts and creativity in my life long term, like, does it support that? And will it allow me to do that? If it doesn't allow me to do that, then I'm not going to do it. And that's one of the things, like, again, to be the woman I am today and knowing where I am going, like, setting those early on boundaries of letting people know what I am and not available for. There were a couple hard conversations and a couple call outs that I did in the family. And I did it in the family publicly, in a way, because I wasn't available for sweeping things under the rug or pretending things weren't ridiculous. I like to use the word fuckery. Wasn't pretending that there was fuckery going on. And I told people some of these call outs, and I also ended it with, I put the whole family on notice. I put everyone on notice on how I am to be treated and what I am and not available for. And that shifts a lot. That shifts a lot of different relationships. It changes a lot of different things. But the biggest thing is, For me to be able to vocalize boundaries and do it in a public way, like my past self is ecstatic for it. Couldn't even fathom me doing that because I was hard to say no. I wanted, like, second guessing. I was supposed to be following this checklist of life, but yet it wasn't working for me. And then, like, how do I get people to understand who aren't ever going to understand? Like, one of those things, one of the lines that I learned during that time as well was when I got opposition, especially saying like I didn't want to be an attorney, it was like, no one argues with happy. And I said, I was unhappy. I'm not happy. This makes me happy. Which is, and that just stops them in your tracks, their tracks, actually. Because no one argues with, well, if they're unhappy, then they're unhappy. Yeah, there's so many other podcasts that can come from this, but it's just like about happy and then being the trigger and reflecting back to them. But that's just the thing, is just like with boundaries and saying no and allowing yourself to go through this process of grief and feeling this resentment and allowing it to just be instead of trying to force it and trying to make yourself wrong because it feels different. You're walking a different path than probably a lot of people in your family or people you witnessed or people who you wanted to emulate are walking. Like, carving your own path requires a lot of fucking courage. And there's going to be a lot of fear, but courage is going to win out because something's always pulling you that there's a different way. You're listening to this podcast. There's a different way. Boundaries. Yes, setting boundaries is amazing. But going through and understanding the steps and honoring those steps is just as important. And also realizing sometimes you're going to backslide. Sometimes you're going to cross a boundary or let a boundary be crossed, or someone's going to do something that you were fine with before and then all of a sudden you weren't fine with earlier. There were like a couple times even like I've had some other conversations just to clean up my side of the street of being like, they crossed a boundary, and instead of letting that like resentment build and not vocalizing it, I said, like, this happened. Please don't let this happen again. And sometimes one of the things that would say like this happened was there's just like a lot of triangulation happens. And I'm like, you're not allowed, like, don't talk about me to other people. Because if they want to know about my life, and they have my number, they have a way of contacting me, they can contact me. But don't talk about me to other people. And something happened where that triggered that whole lot of conversation was I was talked about. And then it was brought to my attention and I didn't like it. But it was nothing really big. And nothing that was in the sense of like devastating. But I realized I wasn't okay with that. So that's where that boundary came and being able to have that conversation and being like, I'm not okay with this. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not upset about any of this, but I have to tell you and move on. Where past version of me, even beginning version of me of setting boundaries, wouldn't have said anything, would have waited until like the resentment, the anger, the frustration build until it exploded in a sense. And then addressed it then, which makes, you know, mountains out of molehills. And if I address the molehill, there's no mountain to be made. Good old boundaries. Good old conflict resolution. And then, like, it's just, as you're, like, going through this process and, like, understanding your own emotions and having your own back and finding out what your path is and what would fulfill you and what makes you feel alive, like you're actually living instead of just existing in life, is to give yourself patience and also celebrate the fact that you are choosing to do this, that you are choosing to set boundaries, you're choosing to put yourself first. You're choosing to stop betraying and have your own back, to have your own self-respect, to be confident, have all of this self-trust for you to move forward in life and feel like you're moving forward and being this confident version, because not everyone's going to do it. Yes, in the moment, sometimes it does suck and it's not fun. Was it fun doing what other people wanted you to do? Sometimes it sucked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes it was nice to get getting the accolades, but sometimes it just wasn't fun. So you're always going to have that in life. Like, life has a duality to it, a plurality to it. There's always going to be good, bad, great, awful. There's always going to be like masculine, feminine energies. There's always going to be a polarity to it. There's always going to be ups. There's always going to be downs. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be roses, like all of that. But that's how it's meant to be. And to like live a fulfilled life is also accepting like some, like the sad parts, the grief, the sadness, the resentment you feel as you start to stop playing a role that you were given and start setting boundaries and communicating those and having hard conversations or not having hard conversations and just letting that relationship end and let it be that. And it's okay for it to end. It's okay to feel relief for it to end, but also feel sadness, because no matter how long that relationship with it in your life, whether it's familial, friends, romantic, all of that, platonic, it still played a role. It played some sort of significance, and it's sad that it's over and that there can be relief that it is over, because you're not that person anymore. You're not going to go back. Like, you learned a lesson and you're moving forward. And that's just the whole point, is you learn lessons and you move forward. Good, bad, whatever it may be. Like, you just keep moving forward because life is meant to be lived. And yeah, life is just meant to be lived. And that's just like one of the things when you work with me, because I still have openings for working one-on-one for the 6 weeks for right now. And eventually the group coaching program will come out, but I wouldn't wait on that. If you're really called now to like work with me one-on-one, to work through boundaries, to recalibrate your life, to change your life, to like really do that shift that took me years to learn in like a matter of 6 weeks of creating that strong foundation, like jump now. Apply now. Message me on Instagram now to get started, because waiting is just going to cause more suffering and you're going to, again, wish you started earlier, but also there's a lesson in that. But like, it's time. If you haven't learned anything, and one of the things I've also learned, but if you haven't learned anything the past like 5 years of 2020, like, the time is now. The world and you have been through so much these past 5 years. It's really fucking insane. And the time is now. It's time to have like a mentor. It's time to work with someone to get you faster to slingshot you further than still putzing around and thinking one day. Setting boundaries, having that support, having someone there to help you and guide you during it instead of telling you what to do. And that's the whole thing. I'm not going to be telling you what to do. I hold space for you as you set those boundaries and talk about what comes up and recalibrate and allow the nervous system to release and heal so you can move forward, so you can regulate in chaotic situations that made you dysregulated. And yeah, to regulate in chaotic situations that made you dysregulated. It's kind of like, you know, being unbothered in a world that wants you bothered. That's really what it is. Like, you deserve to put yourself first. You deserve to, again, have the life you want and actually live it the way you want. Because the only one who is entitled to your life or has a right to your life is you. So I would apply. I'd get in. I'd get started now, because sometimes it's not worth the wait. Sometimes it just adds more suffering. And yeah, with that, I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. If it stirred something in you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it, text it to your favorite secret rebel, and tag me at Lo Wentworth so I can cheer you on and see how you're going along the way. And if you're ready for more truth, more support, more you, then come join the Naked Thoughts community or dive deeper with private coaching with me. All the links are in the show notes.